It's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School that is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And this is class session number 63. And I invite you to get your Bibles and turn. Well, we'll be looking here in a few moments at the book of Ezekiel. But first, let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. Be finding the book of Jeremiah. The first passage I will read will be from Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12, and then we'll look at Elam's notes concerning that. When I ring that school bell and call you to session in this class, I'm reminded of an incident that took place when I was a young man down in Alabama. There in Calhoun County, Alabama, I was a school bus driver, and I was given a new route, and part of that route went to a county road that went way out in the country. Oh, it was over a mile, maybe 2 miles. And at the end of that road, it was a dead end. I would turn that bus around and then drive back down that road to pick up the school children. Well, that was my instructions. So I got that old bus out that morning and I started down that road. And I went all the way down to the end of that road and I didn't see a single child. There were a lot of houses along the way and I was told there were children in most every house. I turned that bus around and I headed back out and still I didn't see any children. I was over halfway back to the main highway when a child was frantically running from his house to come out to the bus. And so I stopped the bus and opened the door. And when I did, I looked in my rearview mirror. And there were running down the road scores of children trying to catch up to the bus. They had not been standing out by the road so I could see them to stop for them. So I had just gone on. Of course, I let them all in, and they came in all frantic and out of breath and panting. And I remember one of those children said, "You're going to be in a lot of trouble." And I thought, well, why would I be in trouble? What had I done? They were the ones that were supposed to be out on the road. Well, I went on out the road, and there were other children frantically running from their houses to get onto the bus. And I knew something was wrong. And sure enough, when I got to the schoolhouse to let the children out, someone from the school office was there where the bus unloaded the children and came up to me and said, "We've got to have a talk." They had been receiving calls from the mothers along that route about how they were disturbed they were about the new bus driver. You see, the old bus driver used to drive down that road, and as he went down the road the first time, at each house he would be honking his horn, and that way the mothers knew that it was time to warn their children. The children would hear it, the mothers would hear it, and it'd be the signal, "You've got to finish your breakfast, you've got to get your books, you can gather your lessons, because the bus is coming." And then by the time I got to the end of the road and turned around and headed back out, all the children would be waiting for me. And so that next morning, that's what I did. As I turned onto that long country road, as I passed each house, I would honk that bus horn and they'd hear that honk, honk, honk. And then I'd pass right on by until I got to the end of the road and turned around and I looked down that road. And at every house, there were children waiting out there in the street, ready to be picked up by the bus. And from then on, all things were orderly. You see, they needed a warning. The mothers depended on that warning to warn their children. And not receiving the warning, they were not ready. Well, God is coming. Jesus is coming. And He's given us warnings. Now, we don't know when He's going to be here. And He's not going to give us a warning just before He came, like I did on that bus. But throughout the Scriptures, we are warned that the Lord is going to come. And He's going to come in judgment. And we better be ready. And so we have no excuse. I'll tell you, if we're not ready, we're not going to be able to blame the Lord. We're not going to be able to say, "The Lord, you're going to be in a lot of trouble." Oh, no, we're the ones that will be in trouble if we heed not the warning. And there are warnings both in the Old and New Testament. And the children of Israel and the children of Judah had been warned about their sins, but they had neglected the warning. And so God brought up Nebuchadnezzar upon Judah and Jerusalem and destroyed it just like He had said. It wasn't because they hadn't received the warning. It's because they had not heeded the warning. Now turn your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 25. And as you're turning, let me remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and then Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and our teacher is E.A. Elam, as we study the Sunday school lessons he wrote for the Sundays of 1922. And the lesson we'll be looking at today is the conclusion of the lesson he wrote for Sunday, June 18th, 1922. And the lesson is the lesson toward the end of this quarter about the downfall of Judah. I want to reread the last two verses of the text. The text is 2 Kings 25, 1 through 12, but let me just read verses 11 and 12. And the residue of the people that were left in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to the king of Babylon, and the residue of the multitude, did Nebuzaradan, the king of the guard, carry away captive. But the captain of the guard left the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and husbandmen. Here are Elam's notes, and we're actually down to the last paragraph of this lesson. Elam says, "All who escaped from the sword, even the deserters who fell away to the Chaldeans, were taken as captives to Babylon. Only the poorest of the people were left. These were left as vine dressers and husbandmen. A great number of the best people were taken away before this with Jehoiachin. Jeremiah had foretold that the captivity should continue for 70 years until the land ordained, enjoyed its Sabbaths. God ordained that the land should rest every seventh year. That means in the seventh year they would not plant and sow their crops. They were to do this for 6 years and then let the land rest for a year. But they did not obey in allowing the land to rest every seventh year. And so he said he would scatter them among their enemies until the land would keep its Sabbaths." We read about that yearly Sabbath commandment in Leviticus chapter 25. And let me read to you Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. Jehovah spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto Jehovah. 6 years thou shalt sow in thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruits thereof. But in the seventh year shall be the Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath unto Jehovah. Thou shalt neither sow thy fields nor prune thy vineyards. That which groweth of itself of the harvest thou shalt not reap, and the grapes of thy undressed vine thou shalt not gather. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be for food for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for the stranger who sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be for food." Well, that was the law, and the law was clear, and with the law there came this warning. It's found in Leviticus chapter 26, beginning in verse 27. "If ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you in wrath, And I will also chastise you 7 times for your sins, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your sun images, and cast your dead bodies upon the bodies of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities a waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors, and I will bring the land into desolation. And your enemies that dwell therein shall be astonished in it. And you will I scatter among the nations, and I will draw out the sword after you, and your land shall be a desolation, and your city shall be a waste. Then shall the land enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate. For ye are in your enemy's land. Then shall the land enjoy rest, and its Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, it shall have rest, even the rest which it had not in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. You see, the children of Israel had been so wicked for so many years that when they went into captivity, the land rested for 70 years while they were in captivity, because that's how many years the children of Israel had missed that Sabbath. All this was fulfilled just as Moses had warned. Nebuchadnezzar, however, made provisions for Jeremiah's safety and comfort. Now we'll read about that in Jeremiah chapter 39. Jeremiah 39 verses 11 through 14 says, "Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, saying, Take him and look well to him, and do him no harm. But do unto him even as it shall say, as he shall say unto thee. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebuzaradan, Rabsaras, and Nigal, Sharezer, Ragmag, and all the chief officers of the king of Babylon, they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the guard, and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, so he should carry him home. So he dwelt among his people." And thus we bring to the conclusion this lesson for Sunday, June 18th, 1922. And the next lesson was for Sunday, June 25th, 1922. And it is a review lesson of all that we had covered in that quarter of lessons about Judah's prosperity and adversity. Now the text for that to be read is Jeremiah chapter 11. And we'll read Jeremiah 11, 1 through 8 to bring these classes here to a close. Here it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from Jehovah, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And say thou unto them, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, Cursed be the man that heareth not the words of this covenant which I command your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do them according to all that I command you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God, that I may establish the oath which I swear unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as it is this day. Then answered I and said, Amen, O Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant and do them. For I earnestly protest unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the stubbornness of their evil heart. Therefore I brought upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them. but they did not. The lessons for the past 6 months have embraced much of the prosperity and adversity of Judah from the beginning of the reign of Rehoboam to the Babylonian captivity.